Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have Avdi Dhruv. This is her second time on the show. And since our first time on the show, I have hired Avdi. I've been working with her. And she is an author and a coach and a guru. And she's also now a YouTuber. She's been an entrepreneur. She's a daughter and wife. She's an expert at family business. And she has a unique blend of Eastern and Western worlds. And we're going to have a very exciting conversation today. Welcome, Avdi. Hello.
Hello.
Well, her book is back there. This is the book. You can see it's well worn. I've been going through it in great detail while as we work together. So welcome to the show again. It's great to have you.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Yes. All right. So this time we're gonna tackle some new topics. The first time we kind of went through Avdi's life, how she got here, how she was an engineer, and how she, you know, and you can tell me if I'm saying it wrong, but she realized, you know, it wasn't her purpose. It wasn't her passion and her bravery and her courage at starting her own business and what that took. So if you haven't seen that, go back to the prior episode with Avdi. And this time we were going to talk about, you know, a little bit more about how she, so I've been working with Avdi on creating a heart-centered business. Would you like to explain what that is, Avdi?
Yes. The way I say heart-centered entrepreneur is an entrepreneur that cares about people, as in humanity, and the planet. And so a heart-centered business is a business that's a vehicle for creating prosperity, health, wellness, abundance, and a bright future for all of humanity now and for the planet for millennia to come. So that's what I call as a heart-centered business.
And what would you call like regular business? Just
regular, yeah. So
you know, like how would you contrast it to that? Yeah. Obviously, that's what most people don't talk about heart-centered businesses. But what is the normal business? How do you describe that?
Yeah, so I have an article where I say there's a brain-centered business and the heart-centered business. And the contrast is that a brain-centered or like a regular business, if you will, is focused on all, it's all about revenue and profit. Hmm. And so that while revenue and profit are important metrics, financial measures that every business should be tracking and growing, the brain-centered, the regular business is totally focused on just how do we increase our revenue? How do we increase our profit? And a lot of times, even if it's at the expense of humanity and the planet. And so that's where we're contrasting that with a heart-centered business where the core message, the core focus is on humanity and the planet and what's good for humanity and the planet. And then, of course, how can we create value for humanity and for the benefit of the planet in a way that does increase the revenue, the profit, like all of the financial metrics are healthy for a business to be sustainable and for the entrepreneur and their team to create abundance for themselves and the world. It's a win-win-win-win-win. That's the heart-centered business versus regular, you know, the contrast would be where there are certain aspects that are winning, but at the expense or cost of other aspects.
Okay. Now, the thing that appealed to me was that it was, you know, the part about the heart, that it was coming from, like, for example, me, let's talk about me, purpose, you know, my purpose, my passion. It was natural in that instead of, you know, because when you said, do you want a business? I was like, no, I just want to make money. A business sounded like a pain in the neck, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you were like, no, when it comes from the heart, it's easy and it's fun and it's joyful. And that's the part that appealed to me was, you know, I've been struggling for years and it hasn't, first of all, it hasn't made money. And, But it hasn't, you know, it hasn't always been fun. And the fact that it could be easy was like, oh, that would be, that's something worth, you know, doing. So, you know, the part about, you know, how you work with people to figure out what's in their heart, what is their purpose, I think is very unique instead of just having a formula that you throw at people.
Yeah. The concept of heart-centered business comes from my deep study in the Indian ancient, the Eastern philosophy, and where there's this concept of dharma. And dharma is the sacred duty, like the soul contract, the life purpose that each one of us came into this life with. And a heart-centered business is just the business is a system of systems that is a sustainable vehicle to bring out that dharma, that sacred duty, that life purpose into the world and express it into the world in a way that creates assets. The business is a system of systems and a structure that can really house and allow those assets to be protected and grown in the 3D physical realm, but it's a vehicle to really fulfill on the life's purpose and mission that the soul is here on. And that's why it's important for it to be heart-centered and for that wisdom to come through the heart, as in what's my life purpose, and then structure that through a business in a way that a business is structured so it can be sustainable and sustained in a healthy way to create value in the world. So that's where the dharma and that sacred duty is what the heart-centered business is based on. And when you think about it, if your soul, like in the ancient Indian philosophy, the soul incarnated into this life for a very specific reason. And if my soul incarnated for this particular purpose in this life, well, it already has the wisdom that's needed. It already has all of these, you know, the genius that's needed for this thing to be fulfilled and for the purpose to be fulfilled and for it to be sustained. And so when that genius flows out through me, that process must be fun. It must feel easy. If it feels like a struggle, then something's off. Like we're making it harder than it needs to be. And therefore, fundamentally, a heart-centered business, it must be easy and fun and feel good and all of those things. So if it's not feeling that way, then something's off and we're trying to do things the reverse. Like in my culture, it's like you can touch your nose like this, or you can touch your nose, go all the way around and try to touch it this way. And this is So you could probably still get to it, but it would be really hard. And this would be super easy. So that's what I help my clients with. And that's what I uncovered for myself, is I could touch my nose like this and I don't have to go all the way around.
All right, I have two questions. So, so for someone who, you know, like I've been listening to this about how we're a soul and we're incarnating and stuff like that. But for someone who, you know, they haven't heard that before, maybe they think that's a little weird. You know, and maybe some of the audience is like, "What? I don't get this. This is weird. Weirdness." So, how would you? I don't know, make them feel comfortable, or are they just not ready? So that's one question, and I'm going to write the other one so I don't forget what it is. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the way I said this was more from the Eastern world philosophy perspective. Let's look at it from the Western world philosophy, right? Or just the Western perspective. There was a point in my younger years in my college years where I didn't really, even though I grew up in India and I've heard of this concept of soul and all that, I didn't really believe in it. I was an engineer, very practical, logical. What can I see? What can I do? And just plan according to that. And so if we think about it, even in traditional business terms, for a business to truly flourish, it requires certain boundaries and structures and systems, but also requires a team. It requires the leader of the team, which is the entrepreneur, the business owner, to be a great leader. And if the leader is stressed out, frustrated, and like struggling, that's going to translate to the rest of their team, to the clients. If you just think from a common sense perspective, if the leader of an organization, of any organization, is stressed out and struggling, that does not translate into a successful business, because the people and the clients aren't going to feel that value. They're going to feel this struggle. They're going to feel all of that low vibe energy. So that then now causes chaos in their business systems, all kinds of technical or other issues, drama in the team, the people, causes a lot of drama and dissatisfaction. So just thinking from a common sense perspective, for the leader of an organization or of a business to be in their high vibrational, vibrant energy that is conducive to creativity, creative problem solving, creative leadership, inspiration. Like, we all look up to our leaders as our role models for inspiration, for motivation. In order for all that to happen, this leader needs to be in their ease and flow and fulfillment and high vibration energy. And so from that perspective, again, it's really helpful for to think of business from a heart-centered perspective, because it helps you be in that high vibrational energy and high motivation, high inspiration type of a role that's required for a successful business to flourish.
And do you think that most leaders are aware of this, or do you think the good ones just have it naturally and the bad ones are in the chaos? Like, do you think it's conscious?
I wish it was more conscious than it is. Mm-hmm. We tend to think of leadership as these positions and titles more than what the true essence of it really is. And so, just because someone has a title of a manager or any kind of senior leadership position, and somehow they got into this seat, this role, doesn't mean they are already the leader that they need to be. And that's what causes a lot of like their team members to be disgruntled, because they're like, here's how I say it. Being a boss does not automatically make you a leader.
Right.
like a boss is someone who has power or influence or like because of the position, but the leadership is a quality that comes from within. And so, and vice versa, just because you're not a boss or in some kind of a leadership position title wise does not mean you're not being a leader. In fact, a leader is a leader everywhere.
Hmm.
And not a leader, no matter what position or title they get labeled as, is not a leader. They're not going to be able to create and lead a successful team or successful business or even a successful family. So a leader is a leader in all areas of their lives, family, marriage, relationships, business, their job, any philanthropic activities they do within their own personal growth. And so a lot of leaders out there, to your question, they aren't conscious about their inner leadership and how that translates into all areas of their lives. Versus there are, but of course, the really successful ones have learned to connect with their inner leader, the inner genius, and step into that leadership. And now that's translating into all the different areas of their lives. And they are conscious. So there are very few conscious leaders. And we need to create more of them. That's definitely part of what I'm doing with my clients. Is they don't know this, but I'm working with them to create what I call a world leader, to bring out the world leader in them, that innate leadership that they're born with, and then bring that out through their personal brand, through their business, this heart-centered business. And that's what then is going to lead the world towards this state of being in abundance and fulfillment.
Wow. Cool. So, okay. So with the Dharma, back to the Dharma,
mm-hmm.
Let's say someone comes in and so this is what happens to me. I sit there going, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is right. What if I get it wrong? What if I get it wrong? Now, I know that's not my inner heart. That's mm-hmm. my brain trying to take me off track. But how do you work with people? And I know I've experienced it, but I want you to explain. How do you work with people so that they can learn what their Dharma is and be confident in what they say it is?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
So we think that I'm gonna, like, here I am clueless, and now I'm gonna need to find my Dharma, like find my purpose somehow. And the truth is that the Dharma, the mission, the purpose is already within. It's already within us. And then there's all of this noise and all of this like gunk that's kind of covered it up. And
I got the gunk. Yes. I got the gunk right now. I got the gunk. Yeah.
Yeah. And because of that, because of all the noise distorting everything, it's hard to see the genius that's already within. It's like, if there's a famous sculptor that I forget the name, but the sculptor who made this sculpture called David?
Michelangelo, yeah.
Yes. And he said that David was already in the rock. I just chipped off all the parts that weren't David. And so the confidence, that alignment, that sure shot, like, this is what I'm here for. This is what feels good to me. This is my thing. This is my zone of genius. All of that clarity and confidence is already within each of us, within you, me. It was already within me, but all of these, the gunk, the distortions were not allowing me to see it within myself. That's what you might notice too. That's the stuff that says, oh, is this right? What if I get this wrong? All of that is all of the noise. It's the gunk. And so how I help my clients is literally how Michelangelo did the sculpture. He literally looks at all the parts and like, is this David? And just helps. So I help my clients remove all of the gunk and all of the distortions that aren't who they really are, their essence. And as that gets removed, they literally see their true essence themselves. And when they see it, it feels right. Then they're like, oh yeah, that's it. And there's no question or doubt about it in their mind when they feel it within themselves.
And you're confident because you know, I guess I'm just checking in, you know that it's in there and you're just, you're not worried that someone doesn't have it. You know, it's in there and you're just chipping away.
It's impossible for it to not be there. Like there's no other place it can be. There is no other place it can be rather than within themselves. So that is a given. And I know that because for myself, I used to have all these doubts too. And I looked for the answers everywhere. I found the answers, that genius within myself. So I know for 100% that it's within them. And all we need to do is chip away at the other stuff that's not them.
So if there's somebody listening and they're going, well, maybe that's okay for you, but I don't think I have one, what would you say to them so that they could know that deep within they also have their dharma that's personal to them and it's their gift? What would you say to them, a disbeliever?
Yes. The fact that they are watching this right now, the fact that they are even listening to this, some conversation about dharma and sacred duty and all of this, what we're talking about, heart-centered business, is a sign that there is a tiny little part of them, a tiny, tiny, tiny little part of them that does resonate. And that's the part that we need to zoom into more. That's the part that is literally screaming and saying, let me out, let me out. I'm in here. And that is the part that wants to come out and play. And all of the other things are like limitations or somehow stopping it. And that's the part, but that's the sign. And another thing is, if there is just listening to this conversation, if there is any kind of desire that comes up for you as the listener, when you listen to a heart-centered business and there's a single thought of desire that maybe this isn't possible for me, but what if it was? What would life look like? What would my relationships look like? What would my finances look like? How would I feel? And if you really engage with those questions more, how would it feel if it was real, if it was possible for you? And engage in that and zoom into that little part of you, it will magnify and it will show you the way and it will tell you what next actions you need to take to create that reality for you.
And I have to say that working with Abdi, she allows me to be wherever I'm at, even if I feel like I'm kind of crazy or worrying, if I know I'm negative, but I get to say it and then she'll say, well, do you want to keep doing that? Very innocently. And I'm like, no, but sometimes I have to think about it. I'm so used to it and I know it doesn't work, but she doesn't make me feel bad. She doesn't make me feel wrong. Like some other coaches have kind of tried to beat it out of me. She's just very gentle and ask a simple little question. You want to keep doing that? I don't. And so it's very gentle. So if you want to work with someone gentle, I totally recommend Opti because it's safe and she knows what's inside of you and she won't try to fit you into some formula that other coaches have tried, you know. And if I didn't want to do it, it was kind of like, well, what's wrong with you? Instead of it's just not a fit. Like you get to create what's inside of you, and it's beautiful. You know, it's very beautiful. So, yeah. So, thank you for that. Anything else about the heart-centered business?
Yeah, what's coming up right now that I want to share about is one of the core values of my brand. So I have the core values of my brand that really like originated from me and my values. So there's generosity, believe in being generous in the value that we share, integrity, ruthless compassion, and that's the one. And then fun and joy. So the ruthless compassion, that is the really integral part of what you mentioned, is that there is this deep level of compassion. That's the gentleness of how this comes out. But then there's a ruthless aspect, because when you are in a pattern of limitation, you are like any client is, I could just not say anything, right? Not challenge it. But then that would not be enhancing and empowering. So being ruthless to those limitations, not holding space for limitations and the gunk to carry on forward, and bringing that out of you in that session with that deepest level of compassion. That's what is that ruthless compassion piece. And I am pretty ruthless when it comes to if a client is, so much in this fear or lower vibration emotion, and they aren't willing to let go because even though it doesn't serve them, they are addicted to it. Not just used to it, but addicted to it. And I am ruthless when it comes to bringing the addiction to light so they can clearly see it. And then they can decide with their own free will whether they want to keep that addiction for themselves. Is it serving them or it's not? And then we use the compassionate approach to actually help them release that addiction if they in from their free will choose to that it's no longer serving them and they want to move towards something else that would serve them. So that's what I wanted to share on that.
Yeah, thank you. And also, but you allow people to be how they are. So you don't say, stop it. You shouldn't be that way, which I've done other people do take that approach, which just like, whoa, it doesn't feel safe. You feel very safe. And, if I have an emotion that's not that you can see, but I don't even, I'm not even aware of it, you kind of bring it out so I can release it, which is cool. When you're saying the pattern of limitation or addiction, like what would be examples of that? I mean, I think for me, it would be worrying. That's definitely something that's always there, but it doesn't serve me. But what would be another example?
Yeah, worrying definitely is an addiction. Scarcity, just scarcity is another addiction. Just constantly feeling like there isn't enough, not enough time, not enough energy, not enough money, not enough support, not enough resources, not enough opportunity, not enough everything. And so this constant feeling of there's not enough, and I have to suffer and I have to struggle. There's a lot of addiction that I see in this scarcity, not enoughness. And And as soon as I see it at this point, like I can smell it from miles away. Like I can hardly tell when that's happening. And then we bring it to light. We fully look at it from a compassionate state of being. And then we release it and shift it to abundance. But yes, that's.
Yeah. And you're very gentle about it. But, you know, again, that little question of, well, do you want to keep doing that? It's like, so the person gets to choose. You know, you're not saying you have to stop, you know, worrying or, you know, the other thing with the heart center that we didn't talk about, or maybe you did, but, you know, the abundance that, and I know living in abundance is a lot more joyful and fun than living on the scarcity side. It's really not a fun place to be. So that's also part of the heart centered entrepreneur that I also thought was awesome. So, all right. So we're going to take our commercial break already. Can you believe it? We're halfway. And then we'll come back after a word from our sponsor.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teacher's plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Welcome back to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And thank you as always to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you want to bring experiential social emotional learning to your schools, to your business, go to KikoriApp.com and schedule a consultation. And also, if you find yourself not free to speak up, you can always get my book, Real Talk, and you can go to RealTalkWithHillary.com, buy it there, schedule a time to talk, and let's get you free. And welcome back, Avdi. Hello.
Oh.
So, okay. Now, did we want to move to Queen Consciousness? Are we ready for that? What do you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Or family, I think family is part of that. Or you want to do family, marriage, and boundaries? I don't know. You tell me which way you want to go.
We can do family, marriage, and boundaries, and then that will evolve into Queen Consciousness.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So, I know it's your husband's birthday today.
Yes.
Yes. And you just had your anniversary as well, so congratulations on both.
Thank you. Yes.
So, I know, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that your second book is going to be about families and marriages and the dynamics. Would you want to say how you decided to go that route after your first book?
Yes. So My family has owned businesses for, I'm the third generation, so over 50 years now, this whole brand that's global. And so I grew up in this family business dynamic, well, and I was already subscribed to it from birth, whether I like wanted it or not. And I have a lot of experience that has come from the fact that I am the only daughter to my father, who is the eldest son in the family. So in the two brothers, my dad and my uncle. And so...
Are you the only child of them? There's no other children.
Yes. So traditionally in the Indian culture, the business, you know, the father would pass, it would pass on to the sons, the eldest son being naturally the leader, and then their sons and so on. Me being the only child to my parents, I am the eldest sibling in my generation.
So is your father the oldest child, and that's why it goes to you? Because your uncle has a child too, right?
Yes. So my uncle has a son. My brother is 2 years younger. So that's, and so we grew up pretty much as siblings. We're very close. And so he's in India and I'm here. And so the global business has different, there's a part of the business in the U.S., that my dad manages the most, and then the part in India and around the world from based in India is where my uncle and my cousin, and they handle all of that directly there. So, but we work closely together. And so if you can imagine three generations and all the generational differences in perspectives, and then global, so US, India, other countries that are involved, and customers, and like all the aspects of a business that's a global brand, and multi seven figures, lots of team dynamics, family dynamics, personal emotions that come into the picture with this. And now I'm married. I've been married 7 years now. My cousin's married too, has been married 3 years now. So then now the third generation's also married. So their spouses are in the picture, right? So the more that the family grows, there are a lot of new nuances and things that come into the picture that we need to navigate and still maintain the unity and harmony of the entire enterprise. Everything in the business affects the family. The family affects the business. There is no separation. And so because I have a lot of experience with navigating a lot of different challenges and situations that have come up throughout the last few years and continue to happen, I chose that this was definitely a topic that I need to talk about in my second book and share how family dynamics affect businesses and even marriage, just my relationship with my husband and how we do marriage together, how that impacts business and how business can then impact the marriage. And it can, so marriage and business can impact each other in a great, abundant, positive way, or it can be very negative and a negative spiral too. So I've seen both sides of it. And so the second book is where I'm going to dive deep into the family business dynamics and relationships and how to truly create success and harmony and how they all go together. Like we can have both success financially and otherwise and harmony, or we can like lose both. So it's not like one or the other, both have to come together. And that's what I'm talking about in the second book.
And would you say you've been able to create that unity and harmony and keep it in abundance? And
yes, absolutely. The family business, I mean, the fact that it's still, we're still together in the family globally, and the brand exists at the multi-seven figures and keeps growing. We have loving, just heart-centered, heart-to-heart relationships. Me and my cousin, we are cousins, but we are basically brother and sister. We are so close. And one of the fears, the biggest fears I had, was that if I get involved with the business dynamics, then I was always afraid I will lose my brother. Like I would lose that relationship with my brother, because now money and finance, like business finances and all of these other things, will start to come in that, in between this juicy, this brother-sister relationship. And same with like my parents and my relationship with them, and them, me being a daughter, like how is the business dynamic going to impact that? So my marriage, I have had all these kind of fears about losing all different relationships. And that's why I was holding myself back for a long time from stepping into the business, the family business aspect. But now I've learned how to create healthy boundaries and how to have conversations in different dynamics for different clear intentions and with different purposes, and really look at the emotions that come up and create healthier emotional patterns around those relationships. And so that's what I'm going to be talking more about and breaking it down in the second book. But I, as I've been able to navigate these different dynamics and relationships, we have been able to create unprecedented growth in the business, revenue, profit, customers, and also keep our family harmony intact, if not intact, but also have that come into a next level of harmony as well. So, it is success and harmony together, or nothing, or neither at all.
And how did you do that? I'm sure, you know, what did you, and if you don't want to say, because it'll be in the book, but like, where did you look to know how to create that? Because I think, I mean, even in just a marriage without a business, or even just, you know, there are people who never talk to their parents, or they don't talk to their siblings. And, you know, that's without a business, to complicate it. Like, where did you draw from to create that?
I feel like I was tricked into it by source, because I wanted to stay away from these dynamics because I was afraid of losing my relationships. So I was just working at my job as an engineer, and I was like, I'm going to keep my corporate job, and that way I won't have to deal with this stuff over here, and let the rest of the family deal with that family business stuff. And it happened that my dad, on the weekends when I would talk to my parents after, like, apart from my job work, I started noticing, and my mom started telling me, that my dad was really stressed out about certain things. And so here I am, a daughter, just curious about what's going on. And so I would talk to my dad, and he would tell me whatever's going on with the business. And I wanted to help my dad. I'm not a little girl anymore, but like the little girl in me, the daughter, wanted to help my dad in whatever ways I could. And so I said, well, maybe I could do a particular project that was necessary. And he's like, yeah, how about you help with this project? So I got involved because I was a project engineer in my job. So I'm like, I'm good with project management. So I took on a small project. And then as I was in the project, I noticed there were all these other, like couple other projects I could do too. So I said, okay, I'm going to take on those projects. And this is where the natural leader in me just started to step up to take on different projects and then almost create projects that weren't actually created because I'm like, this is an area that we need to fix this on. And this is actually a project that nobody's ever even thought of that's actually needed. So then I started creating projects. And as I created projects and then they became bigger and bigger, what started happening is that everything in the company and the business and the family dynamic started to completely transform, which was what was needed. But I didn't think that when I started, neither did my dad. So he actually came up with this title for my role. And he said, you are the Chief Transformation Officer, CTO. Supposed to say for Chief Technology Officer, which I was using a lot of new technology as well in some of the projects, but it was more than that. And so I became the Chief Transformation Officer through my innate leadership just stepping in, but it started from me being a daughter just who just wanted to help her dad. And then he said, well, I'm going to make you a partner and here offer you partnership in the business. And I became a partner officially and then just started to lead the team and I created a strategic vision and the brand, up-leveled the brand. And just like everything just happened. And so I was tricked into it. I feel like I didn't intend to be in it, but I learned a lot through it. And now I'm happy to say that I am actually excited to step into the next level of the family business and actually help it grow versus how I was before is like afraid of even touching it.
So if you had your full-time job and then you were doing this too?
Well, at the time I was in my job. So this was around the same time that I was thinking from my, like, what is my purpose? And my job wasn't feeling like it was fulfilling. So I was thinking of leaving this job and starting my own business of something that was aligned with my passion and my purpose. And then on the side, my dad was stressed. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to help him with some of this stuff too. So, but I didn't think that I was going to be stepping into a pivotal role with the family business. I was just going to help my dad with a few things here on the side while I figure out what is my passion and purpose and build my business through that. So I did that. I built my, you know, uncovered what my passion and purpose is and did that. But also the whole entire time I was doing that, I was also helping my dad and some of the things on the side. I always thought it will be on the side, but it grew into this whole role of Chief Transformation Officer. And now, so I have this business I founded and I have this pivotal role in the family business and it's grown automatically together.
And it's not, so it seems like that's two full-time jobs, but how do you manage it? I know you said you learned how to, with the boundaries, like how did you not let that one take over at the expense of your own purpose and passion business? You know, how did you manage that?
Yeah, it was a lot. So when they cannot, like, here's marriage, here's my like passion business, here's the family business, right? And then other areas of life, and they can all take away from each other, and it can be a total disaster. And I felt that when that was happening. And so there are two ways, and both are equally important. One is I did need to create boundaries so that when I'm focused on one thing, then I'm focused on only that, not all of it at the same time. So when I'm focused on my passion business, so I created, for example, I created theme days on my calendar. So like Monday, Wednesday, Fridays were focused on, let's say, the family business, and Tuesday, Thursdays are focused on my passion business. And that's during the certain hours of the day. And then morning, evenings are for my other personal and marriage and all of that. So I had to create the boundaries, and the boundaries evolved over time. And that's the first part. The second part is, instead of each aspect taking away from each other, I started to find ways to create synergy and win-win scenarios. So let's say I was hiring for a chief operations officer, COO, for the family business last year. I also went through this whole process of hiring for this high-level executive person. Because I already knew how to do that here, I also did the same process for my passion business, and I hired a business director here. So I didn't have to do double the work to accomplish both of these. There are a lot of, like, when I'm setting a certain system here, or we're using AI for something here, we'll start to look at, okay, where can we use AI in this business too? Both are businesses, so there's a lot of things that both of them can use. And so it's about, what is the strength of each business, each area, and how that strength can not only help that entity, but also help the other areas too. So leveraging the strengths in a way that creates a win-win across the board. Even from my marriage, like, what are the strengths that my husband brings to our marriage, or what are the strengths we have in our marriage, and how can that be a win for my business, for the family business, and overall? So decision-making is a big piece of being in a strategic leadership position in the businesses. So when it comes to decision-making, I use my time with my husband to bond, and we talk about different decisions that need to be made, and we brainstorm things. So it's like we're bonding on a personal level, but it's also helping us with decision making in the business. So creating synergies, boundaries and synergy, win-win scenarios, that's how I have found that it's possible to have it all, do it all, be it all, and not be overwhelmed.
Wow. That's amazing. You make it seem so easy. Right? Was it easy, or did you learn it over time?
I learned it over time. I actually learned it by falling into all of the pitfalls that are along the way and learning through them. So yes, it seems easy after I've learned all of that. And so my goal with my second book and clients I'll help with on this is to make that learning curve shorter, right? What took me 5-10 years to learn, now the clients can like have all of that wisdom and implement it into their life, their business, and family within, 3 months or a few months. So,
Wow. All right. Well, you know what? We only have a minute and a half left. So I want you to be able to state your vision for the world, for your business, for a family, for your second book. Like, what is it that you want to create? Let's say 5 years from now, how would the world look?
What's coming up right now is this king and queen consciousness. And so What my vision really is, my vision is to create a world of abundance and fulfillment. And if I were to say more in the context of the second book and what we just talked about, what that looks like is this divine union of the king and the queen consciousness. The king is the divine masculine and queen is the divine feminine. And there is a higher consciousness after that, which is the god and goddess. But for the step towards that right now is the king and queen consciousness that I'm creating within my life, in my family, in my businesses, but also then for all my clients, for the audience, and for the world to really embrace and bring that out through heart-centered businesses. Another thing about the family businesses I took the business, which was a traditional business, and brought heart and soul into it. So literally transformed it into a heart-centered business. And so any traditional business can be transformed into a heart-centered business, or a new business can be created as a heart-centered business. And that's what's required for this vision to come to reality. So that's what I'm working towards.
Thank you. And I love, just in closing, I love when you always say you're creating heaven on earth. Anything quickly about that? That that's your creation? Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, just in terms of, well, this being my husband's birthday and we just celebrated our anniversary too, I think that every couple in their partnership, in their life partnership, in their marriage, as we focus on creating that synergy and the divine union in every home, that's going to collectively create this world of abundance and fulfillment. And that is the heaven on earth that I am creating and manifesting.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I just love your message. It really gets to the heart. It gets me out of my head and into the heart. And, you know, part of me is like, could that really be? Could we really do it? Does it really exist? And just watching you, I can see that it does. And thank you, you know, for being a model for the rest of us and for leading the way and creating that.
Thank you. Thank you. I received that. And thank you for the work you do in the world. So important. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.